Westwood One presents Two Chairs and a Microphone.
Checking 1, 2.
Here's your host, Paul Mercurio.
All right, my people, here we are together again. Welcome to another episode of Two Chairs and a Microphone. It is Paul. First, I want to thank everybody for coming out this weekend to Comics Comedy Club in Mohegan Sun. We had a phenomenal time. Great turnout, sold out shows, and hilarious people. Pictures posted on Facebook and Twitter at Paul Mercurio, M-E-C-U-R-I-O, as you know. So go check them out. We had a great time and wish you guys could have come. Who didn't come and who did come, thank you very much. Need more reviews, folks, on iTunes. I just got a few, like, I don't know, 10. And I appreciate the 10, but I need a lot. So sorry to be a pain in the ass. If you can go do that and tell your friends, I'd really appreciate it because I got a lot more listeners than 10. And just take a second and say you like it. And if you don't like it, then don't say that. Say you like it anyway, and I'll put you in my will. Just send me your name through my email address. And check me out this month. I'm going to be in New York City pretty much doing stand-up at all the clubs. Comedy Cellar, Stand Up New York, Comic Strip, Gotham Comedy Club. You can go to my Twitter and Facebook accounts, and you can see where I'm going to be. And we are going to be the Bobcat episode that we Bobcat Goldthwait episode that we posted last Monday had a little bit of a technical glitch, so it cut off the last 3.5 minutes. So we reposted the episode. So if you want to refresh your thingamajig, whatever it is, the phone, the feed, if you want to re-download the episode on your phone or your computer, you should go do it. The full episode is there. I apologize for the glitch. That's the Bobcat Goldthwait episode, which was the special talk show that I shot as a TV show. And it was really fun and a really great interview. If you haven't heard it yet, please check it out. This week, my guest, Tom Bernard, my good friend, radio legend out of the Midwest. He's one of the biggest radio guys in the country. And he's been on before. We just have a lot of laughs. And you're going to feel like you're in the room with us. And we just talk about a whole bunch of stuff. So it's really, really fun, and just a ton of laughs with him and some of his people in the room with us. So enjoy the podcast. Thanks for checking things out, and please go review the podcast. Hey everybody, welcome to the show. Very special guest. We're here trying to decide. I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota with radio legend.
Oh yeah.
Tom Bernard.
Legendary
of the Tom Bernard show podcast on Westwood One, and also KQRS radio show, the mega show of the area, and a very dear friend. And we're trying to figure out where we're going to eat. I'm also here with Tevin Pittman, and I'm here with Mike, the non-Asian audio guy, tech.
Actually Sicilian.
Yeah. You are Sicilian. You don't look Sicilian, though. No, you look Irish.
Irish?
Northwest Sicily, Castellammare.
Let me see.
Let me see.
You got a fat face. You're definitely Sicilian. That's a head.
You got a big head,
it's
man.
It's like a container for a head.
It is a container for a head. You're absolutely right. That's very accurate. And he's going to hear that every day now for the rest of his career. But container head. I got a big head, actually.
You do?
I do.
You look fantastic. You lost 80 pounds.
Yeah, I'm going to lose another 20, 25, too.
So you see your penis now?
No. I don't know. It doesn't matter how much weight I lose. I'm never going
to
see it.
You try not to do it. We're trying to decide where we're going to eat. It's 1:30 here. And we're down to Great Wall.
Great Wall.
Chinese place.
Chinese place. There's a convention grill, which has great freshly made hamburgers, phenomenal French fries.
Yeah.
They have great malts if you want a malt.
Yeah. Well, what about, Tevin's been driving me around.
God, I'm just here for the ride.
Did you hate that last two radio
stations? No, I mean, those are two radio stations. There's, I don't know, there's whatever.
You mean because of me? What I did?
No. I just feel like just their setup in general and everything was just kind of, whatever.
Did they make you do your act? I love that when people make it, hey, do your act, Paul.
Some of them do. Some of them want the setup.
I know they do.
And then some of them like want to be like, they'll give you that open-ended question like, so you worked on The Daily Show. What was that like? And then it's like, we would rape chickens every day. I don't know. Like, what do you want me to say? That's like, you know what I mean? So it's always like, yeah. But these two were fine. They were cool. It was conversational. Not you, not your show.
Right. Not the legend.
No.
Oh, God. I thought you were going to say he wasn't an asshole. No.
You've been on my podcast more than anybody else.
More than anyone else.
Yes. You are a fixture.
Driving it right into the ground.
Exactly.
So that's really great news exactly. for you.
Yeah, my subscriptions will drop 10% after this.
Here's the deal. So we're trying to decide where we're going to go to lunch, and I suggest that we go to Barrio, which for people out of the market, it's a restaurant that my family is part owner of. I said, do you like Latin food? Paul makes this face.
No, you said Mexican.
So I did say Mexican.
Yeah.
You made a face like, you're so predictable. Honest to God. It's unbelievable. Honest to God.
Well, you know, it's like refried beans. I don't know.
Is
it good? You own it? You didn't know. I didn't tell you. I don't want to take money out of your pocket. We'll go.
I'm not paying for it. It's not going to happen.
No, I mean, I'll pay for it, but I don't want to
No, no, you're not paying for it either. No, it's really a Latin restaurant. It's not.
So Mexican. What does that mean? Is there like a woman that comes up and does the salsa with me? Like, what does that mean?
You mean the dance?
The dance.
Nobody's dancing with you. It's not going to happen. No, I think honestly, God, we should leave this up to Tevin. Because black people are
very
touchy.
We can go to Popeyes, if that's what you
have. Yeah. Let's go get some chicken. That's really good, Tevin.
Tevin is the GM of House of Comedy in Minnesota.
Total mistake making him the GM.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was unbelievable. That Rick Bronson went.
Talk about driving something into the ground.
Exactly. There's no question about it. No, that's doing very well, isn't it? Rick Bronson's doing very
well. Yeah, we're doing all right. We're in the middle of our busy season now, so we bring in the bigger acts like Paul, and we just had Ruben Paul, Michael
Young. Ruben Paul is one of my favorite people in the world. I love Ruben.
Very
Paul.
Nice guy. Really it's always nice guy. When the comedians are enjoyable to spend all day with rather than a pain in the ass.
Well, let's do that. Let's go down a list of your least favorite comedians. I love that.
That's a long list.
The last time I was here, we had a great time. David was here also, who was one of the managers for them, and he said, we started talking about ice cream, and he's like, you got to have this ice cream. What is it, with the caramel in the middle?
Yep, it was like a caramel, some Ben and Jerry's.
Ben and Jerry's, you got to have it. So he buys like two or three of them, and we're at the club, and we're going to have it like after one of the shows. And then somebody gives me a bottle of champagne. It was one of the people that came to the show, and they came back the next night. So here's the three of us having ice cream and champagne in the green room. It was the gayest moment of my life, and I loved it.
Three grown-ass men eating ice cream and drinking champagne.
And then we're always going to have that together. That's our
not
thing.
Bad.
Yeah, so every time we try to get together and do that again, but hopefully this weekend. But yeah, so we've been driving around doing radio. So I'm fine with Barrio if you want to go there.
No, that's all right. You made a face.
Why isn't your Italian restaurant open?
It's only open at night. It's only open for dinner.
Why?
Because it literally, it's not, where it is not really a lunch area. Hmm. It's a go to dinner. There's a sandwich shop next door to it that's really good.
I don't like talking to you with your glasses or sunglasses. I know why you have them.
Okay, you'd rather see my purple eyes. There you go.
No, I didn't want to bring that up. I was just saying, Well, no, you know, with the brim, I can't see.
There you
go.
See.
We were talking about hitting people when you're a kid and you're getting hit. There you go. That's when you lose it and you live in your house and you never leave.
If you're a kid and you what?
When you were a kid, I would get hit by my
mom.
Yeah,
we're talking about
and you were talking about, tell the story about the guy that got dragged out into the street.
The guy in my neighborhood when I was a kid, it wasn't enough to beat the shit out of his kid. He had to drag him out in the middle of the street to beat the shit out of him. So not only to get beat up, but they had to be humiliated on top
exactly.
of it. You know?
But I bet you that kid never did anything wrong after that.
No, and he also had a miserable life, and he's dead. But other than that, you don't have a whole lot of pride when your dad's kicking your ass in the middle of the street.
Exactly.
It was a totally different world.
You had a pretty mixed, ethnicity-wise, your neighborhood was pretty mixed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no question about it.
A lot of black people?
It was basically, I talk about this, from the Mississippi River to Lindale Avenue was like Irish and Italian.
Right.
And then Lindale Avenue to Penn Avenue was all black, and Penn Avenue west to the Parkway was all Jewish. So it was a great place to grow up because all these different ethnicities, some Mexicans involved in there, some Native Americans. And the great thing about that, going to St. Joseph's where I went, it was all ethnicities and nobody gave a shit. I'm telling you flat out. And this was in the 60s. This is a long time ago.
I was going to say, there wasn't this racial thing in the
60s? No, absolutely. We didn't, nobody gave a rat's ass. They just didn't care. And I don't know why that was, but whatever. I'll tell you my favorite story about going to St. Joseph's, and I tell this story once in a while, so. But I don't think anybody on your show has ever heard this. It was a much more innocent time, so. And the guy who said this ended up being killed in prison. Okay? A lot of guys that I grew up
with. You have the best stories.
Oh, a lot of guys I grew up with went to prison. Catherine and Alex and I went and. We used to go every Saturday.
There was a woman, and well, just to start the story, she was buried alive up to her head. Okay.
Like and you know what?
You got great stories.
You want to behave or not? You want to behave or not? Don't bury you up to your head. But anyway, so we're in like third grade at St. Joseph's, and this guy, his first name was Bill. No reason to say his last name. But yeah, he ended up rounding third base in a softball game, and a guy stabbed him to death, headed for home plate.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he stabbed him to death.
Boy, when you don't pay attention to your third base coach.
Yeah, exactly.
He really gets
screwed. You ran through my sign, you prick. So he stabs him to death. But anyway, we're standing in the boys' room because there's an assembly and a little, I don't know, some kind of show going on. And we're like, you know. Even though they were, I think at that time, they would have been in third grade, they would have been 9, I suppose, and I was either 7 or 8 because I started school very early. So we duck out, and we're in the boys' room. We're just kind of hanging out, standing there. And the whole point of the story is the innocence of the time, because it would never happen anymore. So we're standing in there, there are 3 of us, and Mother Superior walks in, and she goes, "Boys, what are you doing?" And Bill says, we're just fucking around. And she says, well, stop fucking around. Because she didn't know what the word meant.
Oh, my God,
that's
really?
The great part of it. She had no idea what she was saying. She did not know what fucking around even meant.
Jesus.
And I look back at that. Isn't that wonderful that she had no idea? She just repeated what he said.
And had a bigger agenda. Like
She had no idea what he meant by fucking around. And I look back and go, that's kind of sad now, you know.
We had, in middle school, everybody pretty much got along. It was pretty mixed. But I almost got beat up by, 6 girls. I know I shouldn't admit this. I'm never going to live it down. But I was, in 7th grade, I think, and they cornered me. I was always little. And they cornered me, and they were big girls.
Why did they corner you?
They wanted money from me.
Oh, money.
Yeah. And, they obviously saw that I was a rich kid with my ripped jeans.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Dirty sneakers or whatever. And I was I remember panicking. I was like, geez, they're going to. And I remember saying to myself, I can't let them beat me up. Not so much because I'm going to get beat up. I can't let my friends see me get beat up by 6 girls.
That wouldn't be good.
So I was like, they started kind of moving in on me. And, I got them all pregnant. That's how I
That's
fixed it.
That's a good thing.
No, I just ran. I literally ran. I just bolted, and and one of them, they were all pretty heavy, chubby, so they weren't going to run. They were, so I'm like, they weren't going to run, and so I ran down the stairs as fast as I could, and I literally jumped, when you jump from the top of the thing, and then I had to avoid them for, the next 2 weeks, and then it got forgotten, and nobody ever. And it was a couple of white girls, a couple of black girls. There was a Latino. It was a Latina. It was but it was girl. I don't know. I don't see girls aggressive like that.
Why did they think you had money?
I don't know. I know my father's rolling in dough, putting floors in for a living. I don't know.
Was there a furniture store involved or something?
Yeah, there's a furniture. Yeah. You guys sell furniture store, furniture and other thing. I don't know. But but then they were bussing people in, and there was tension then when that happened. Because it was an all-Italian.
Oh, the bussing,
because it was all-Italian, and it was
JB, you got to tell them your Dago Hill
story. JB just joined the show.
Dago Hill story. It's phenomenal. You know about Dago Hill in St. Louis, right?
No.
In St. Louis, there's a hill.
You grew up there?
I grew up.
Westport, near Westport?
No. I'm an inner city kid.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I'm a what they call near north side. They're the big Catholic church in St. Louis is on the hill.
Right.
And that's where all the Italians grew up. And it was, and to this day, in St. Louis, it's referred to the hill or Dago Hill.
Really?
Yeah, and that's where Joe Garagiola and Yogi Berra grew up.
Oh, I always thought Yogi Berra was from New York. He grew up there.
He grew up in St. Louis.
See, but you can get away with that because it's something you can make jokes about Italians and Irish and everybody's whatever.
You're gonna love this story.
You can't say Chink Hill.
No.
Hey. Pekin, Illinois. You know, that's the very quickly, quick aside.
Yeah.
Pekin, Illinois. P-E-K-I-N. The mascot used to be the Pekin Chinks. You could look it up. I'm not making that up. That's a fact.
Oh, that's awesome.
The Pekin Chinks. I'm like, oh, my God. All right, anyway, back to Dago Hill.
So we're, one summer I was in, because I grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
And they would have a summer youth program for leadership for certain males. The teachers would all get together and pick their top or whatever.
Mm.
And so one day we were going to go to the big church where the bishop was, just to see the church.
Mm.
And we get there, and the bus driver got up the hill and parked the bus on the downhill slope. And
it's all black kids.
Right.
Yeah.
We get back, and the bus isn't there. And we're like, okay, what happened? And somebody looked down the hill, and the bus was they had released the parking brake after they had broken out all the windows.
No.
And sent the bus down the hill, and literally the people that took us there, the group leaders or whatever, said, just get on the bus. Let's get out of here.
Phenomenal.
Well, it was your fault for being black.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Around Italians. around Italians.
I remember they had a small yellow bus that brought some black people to my elementary school, and like some of the older kids from the middle school started to rock the bus.
Oh, God.
And like, you know, told like, you know, get out, get out. And it was all learned
behavior
from like the adults who were like these old school Italians who were like, oh, you know, this. And they didn't like any of that. They didn't like anybody that wasn't Italian.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you're Italian, like you're Italian and you had a nice head of hair, you could literally be stabbing a nun. Nah, like she probably asked for it, you know?
Right.
But if you're black and you're like the nicest guy in the world, he's black, you know, whatever. It was crazy. And so they were, I remember watching this bus, rocking the bus, and the people like banging on the windows. And then a teacher came out and just said, stop it! And they just stopped and they walked away. Like that was as easy as it was. Like, but I'm like, wow, you're not really committed to your racism, I'll tell you.
Nah, you know.
You know.
Devin, do you ever go through that because you were, what, one of two, three black kids
in your town? Mean, nothing crazy like that. We had, it was just the stereotypical, like, I got a new black joke that I could tell you, so I had to, like, I ended up researching all of, like, the black jokes on the internet, and so then I would beat them to the punchline, because I'm like, I'm not going to sit around here and wait for you to...
And wait for you to tell my
jokes. So a white guy would try to do a black joke on you, and then you'd get to the punchline?
Yeah, I'd just be like, oh, Tevin, what did the black person do? Da-da-da. I'm like, oh, I've heard this one. This is your punchline. Now go away.
That's brilliant.
So, unbelievable. Did you ever hear the signifying monkey?
No.
Signifying monkey. You got to do some research because it's an old Nigerian thing, and it's several hundred years old. Did Dolomite do signifying monkey?
Him or Rudy Ray Moore?
I might be right. It's an old tale, and it's all about a monkey that tells these very racist stories. You got to do your research. It's unbelievable. Wait,
is this like a kid's book or something?
No.
No, it's not a kid's book.
Because I want to read it to my kid.
Oh, no. You don't want to read The Signifying Monkey to your kid.
Wait, this was like an actual... like.
Oh, yeah. It was based in Nigeria. It might have been like over 1,000 years old, isn't it?
Yeah, but then one of those two comics... And I use the term comic very loose in their case, would have what they call party albums.
Right.
Party albums?
Yeah.
Red Fox did party albums.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was literally you sit down and you listen to them riff about different things. Wait, I can't remember which one of the two did it, but in the jungle deep, and then it just kept going.
A lot of stuff about bananas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I had to talk about Red Fox. I had Tom Dreesen on the podcast, and
I love Tom.
He's
Dreesen.
Got great stories.
Great stories about Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, just great stories. And he was doing a big benefit that he put together in Las Vegas. Dreesen was, and Red Fox was a friend. And he goes, Red, would you do that? Because Red was working, I don't know, down the street in the Sahara or whatever. And he's like, yeah. He goes, but Red, you got to be clean. Like this was I think it was for a church or like a diocese or something. And Red's like, all right, you got to promise you, I'll write your jokes, get a clean. He goes, no, I got it. So Red goes out, and he only has to do like 6 minutes. And he goes out, and he has but he's got a piece of paper in his hand because this isn't really his act. So he probably wrote some cheat sheet, right? a little piece of paper in his hand, and he's like, he's just by his side, and he goes out, and he starts, and he does the first joke, nothing. And he does another joke, nothing. Whoops. He does a third joke, nothing. And he goes, fuck it. And he throws the paper down and goes into his act. It's completely filthy. And the place went crazy. They loved it. And then Dreesen says he's walking by. He goes, that's how you do it, dummy. And he just kept walking. Right? He said, and Dreesen said nobody got pissed because it was him. But he's got great stories, Dreesen.
Oh, he's got wonderful story, and he's a really good guy.
Yeah, he was like the godfather of all those guys in L.A., the comics, like Leno and Letterman and that group of guys that kind of came up, and Paul Reiser, and he was the guy he organized the whole, like, I think there was a strike at one point because of not getting paid and stuff like that. He was really good. He was great. And you worked at Capitol Records.
Yeah, I did, right.
Talk about that. Capitol Records was like the record company. Frank Sinatra.
Dean Martin, those people were on there. You know, the Beatles were on there, which is not bad.
Yeah.
Beach Boys, Bob Seger, all these different. It was an interesting deal. We were just talking about that yesterday. Bruce Wendell was the vice president of promotion. He's an Italian guy from Philadelphia. And he always liked me because I tend to be just kind of straightforward. And Bruce kind of talked like this. You know, when these Philadelphia guys talk like this. So he calls me when he goes, hey, Tommy. I go, yeah, Bruce. Let me ask you a question. I said, yeah, what's that? And he goes, did you tell the program director at WOW to go fuck himself? And I said, yeah, I did. He goes, okay, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I mean, he understood that thing, you know?
Yeah.
He was.
But you had to be that way with some of these managers and agents in the day, right?
Oh, there's no question about it. Otherwise, they'd run right over you.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to tell people, like, you know, a drummer from some mediocre band, and go, hey, can you give me some cocaine? I'm like, I'm not your fucking drug dealer. What are you, nuts? Don't ask me that shit. One of my favorite stories about working at Capitol Records, Duran Duran came to America for the first time and did New York, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and L.A. And it was my job to take them around. And they were only 17, 18, 19 years old, something like that. A couple years later, they break big. They're kicking ass now, and they're huge. So Simon LeBon says, hey, call me at the hotel. You know, when you get this message, I'm at the hotel. Just call me at the hotel. But he didn't leave me the code. Because, you know, big acts, you can't just call a hotel and ask for Simon LeBon's room, right? So, this was fucking typical. And I love Simon LeBon. Great guy. Nick Rhodes, another great guy. So, I call a hotel. I said, could you connect me with Simon LeBon's room, please? And he, like I said, he didn't leave a code. So, I'm figuring, I don't know, but maybe he didn't leave a code. I mean, he didn't have a code. So, I said, could you connect me with Simon LeBon's room, please? And they said, yes, sir. What's the code? I said, well, he didn't leave me the code. He goes, well, I can't connect you. I said, oh, Jesus. He goes, well, I said, okay, well, here's the code. Guest number one. They go, that's it, sir. it was always guest number one. That's not a real great code.
It's like
John Smith. Yeah, it's like John Smith. Guest number one. Really, that's your code? And they connected. It was unbelievable.
So why didn't you stay in the record side of things?
Because I saw that the promotion department of record companies was going to go away eventually, that there was going to be no need for promotion guys anymore.
Why?
Because it became very centralized.
Well, you were the conduit between the record company and the radio station,
yes,
right?
Yes, that's
and
exactly
you were the guy
right.
with payola, whatever, you give this.
Yeah, which song. I never got involved in that shit either.
Yeah.
They honestly, God, it was a situation where one of the guys in the company, and, you know, he wasn't around for long, but he goes, okay, here's the deal. And this guy was from Boston. It was, God, we had a guy, a second. This is not the same guy. Walter Lee was about a 5-foot-tall Irish guy from Boston. Right. Oh, fuck, was he great to work with.
I thought you were going to say he was Chinese.
Well, yeah, Walter Lee. But Walter, the first time I ever met Walter, he's on the phone. And I walk into the Capitol building, the one that looks like a stack of records in L.A.
Yeah.
And Walter's on his phone. And he goes, yeah, is that right? Really? Is that what you so that's what you're telling me, and that's the final word I'm going to get from you. That's it, huh? Let me tell you something. I'm going to break your fucking beak. You got it? Okay. Okay, Walter's going to break his fucking beak. Walter was a wonderful guy. No bullshit straight ahead.
Yeah.
But Capitol was in a very powerful position because at the time it was Bob Seger and Steve Miller and the Beach Boys, and we had that entire Beatle catalog. The Jesus. Beatle catalog, and I've told JB this story before, WESL is in East St. Louis. And WESL is a very, very, very black radio station.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, most guys wouldn't go to WESL, but I would.
Really?
I didn't give a shit. Right. White guys wouldn't go to WESL because they didn't want to go in that neighborhood, first of all.
Wow.
And they didn't want to deal with him. So I got to know the guy. I don't even remember the guy's name. But that was a long time ago. But he calls me one time. He says, hey, Catman. Because that was my nickname. It was Catman.
Catman?
Yeah. Nice. Catman. He said, Catman, how you doing? I said, not too bad. He goes, I need a favor from you, man. I'm going to do a promotion. I said, you're going to do a promotion at WESL? He goes, yeah. I said, what's a promotion? We're going to give away a Beatle catalog. I said, what? He goes, we're going to give a, I need you to send me a Beatle catalog. And so you're talking like 40 albums or 50 albums or something. And in the day, they were called cleans or promotional. They either were stamped that said promotional for promotional use only.
Right.
Or there was a cut in them, so you'd know they're promotional only. And cleans were just like the records that were in the record store.
Yeah.
So he said, yeah, man, we're going to give away a Beatle catalog. I said, on WESL, well, between like Parliament Funkadelic, you're going to give away a Beatles catalog, are you? And he goes, yeah, man, it's going to be unbelievable. And by the way, don't send me that promotion shit either. It needs to be clean. Like, Ronnie, you're going to sell these, aren't you? No. Like, fuck. It was unbelievable. It was that much fun, though. It was a really fun business to be in. But then once, like, CDs happened, I just realized this. And there, I don't know how
many. Wait, I don't understand. If the form of distribution is different, like an album or a CD, why does that mean you don't need promotion? Why does that change the need for promotion? You still have to have somebody pushing this stuff.
Yeah, you do, but it literally not very many people are good at it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if they can't buy their way in with, you know, cocaine or cash or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, radio stations got watched so closely after a while that you just no way you could take cash or, you know, drugs or any of that bullshit. They cut the promotion budgets way, way back. I took a guy, and he was an assistant program director. He wasn't even the head program director. I took him to dinner, and he said, I can't decide what kind of wine I want. So he orders 4 bottles of wine. They bring them out, and the server puts them on the table and pulls out the corkscrew, and he goes, don't open them. The guy just took them home with him. I mean, like 4 very expensive bottles of wine. He just took them home with him.
That's something my cousin Bobby would do.
Well, that's what these guys did. Yeah. And honest to God, when I first took the job, and the guy was not there very long, he told me, Tommy, look. And he wasn't the boss or anything. He said, Tommy, you got to do something for me. I said, what's that? He said, on your expense account. I said, yeah. He goes, you got to steal like $100,000. I said, what? He goes, you're going to make everybody else look bad unless you steal a lot of money.
Oh, my God. It's like, what? It's like a cop on a take.
Yeah. I mean, it literally was like being, and they got very pissed off. He said, I'm not going to steal $100,000. What, are you out of your mind? I mean, you got a free air travel card, a car, an unlimited expense account. I mean, you just did whatever the hell you wanted to do. And then that wasn't enough. They had to steal money, too. I mean, there were guys that had their own credit card machines at home. Wow. So they would run their own credit card at home over and over and over again. One guy was the greatest story of all time. So he would turn his expenses in every month. And his favorite restaurant was Anthony's, which was down on 494. And the reason I'm telling you this story. So the vice president of promotion comes to town because he's talking about, man, you really love that Anthony's restaurant. That's amazing. Because I looked at your expense accounts and you eat at Anthony's like, you know, 10 times a month. And it must be a really good restaurant because it, you know, the bills were always, well, yeah, a lot of guys in town love to go to Anthony's, you know, they really like the place, and it's not cheap, but, you know, I get a lot of records played because I take them to Anthony's. And so the vice president goes, I want to go to Anthony's. The guy says, I don't think it's open. He goes, that's all right, we'll wait. I want to go eat at Anthony's. And the guy says, seriously, I think they're going through renovations and stuff. Well, the truth of the matter was, Anthony was a men's clothing store. It wasn't even a restaurant. I mean, it's that kind of bullshit. I decided I can't be around.
Yeah.
You know?
They got meatballs, though, in the back. Come on.
Yeah. It wasn't even a restaurant. It was a goddamn, but it just said Anthony's on the pulpit.
Suits in the front, meatballs in the back.
Meatballs in the back. But he got popped for that. It was unbelievable. There were guys in that business, though. Oh, my God. It was unbelievable.
How accurate was the HBO series that got canceled that just happened? That
Oh, Vinyl?
Yeah. Was that fairly, like, I don't know if you saw any of it.
No, because Led Zeppelin's not going to stand backstage and bullshit with anybody. It's just not going to happen. You know, I'm sorry, but we're not. You know, there were guys. Here's how the record business went. And it was really interesting. When the bands first started out, they were very, very nice. And then when they broke big, they turned into flaming pricks. And then when he got really big, they were nice again.
Why the middle gap?
Because they couldn't handle it. They could not handle
it. So they thought that's
success.
How they were supposed to behave.
Yeah, they were supposed to be, you know, needy pricks and all that. And then once in a while, one of my favorite stories back at the old Met Center, which is where the Mall of America is now. It was Metropolitan Stadium, and the Met Center was where the hockey arena was. Mm-hmm. And Bob Seger was playing there one night. And his manager at the time, not his manager, I'm sorry, his road manager, because Punch Andrews was his manager. I think he still is his manager. But his road guy was kind of a, you know, kind of a fat guy who thought he was a tough guy, but he wasn't a big guy. He was just a fat guy, right? So for some reason, he didn't like me. You know, Bob and Seger and I.
For some reason.
Yeah, for some, I don't know.
Here's eight right here. No.
But so we're back. This was a bizarre experience because we're right outside the dressing room door, and the road manager starts bitching at me about something. Hmm. And I don't even know what that. Why didn't you get this done? Why didn't you get that? He was trying to prove that he had value.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to bitch at me because he's going to prove that he has value. Right. Right? So I got to the point where I listened enough to went, hey, you know what? Fuck you, Meatloaf.
Right? Is that what you said?
Yeah. I said, fuck you, Meatloaf. So the guy starts yelling at me. And so, again, I'm going, shut your fucking mouth, you fat cow. Bob Seger comes out of his dressing room and he goes, will you two guys knock it off? I mean, it was an interesting way to live.
Yeah.
And I was only there for about 6 years.
Yeah.
But it was a great six years.
Though. I mean, I'm just curious because Tevin has been, how long have you been working at the comedy club in one capacity?
I've been there for 3 years.
What is it? Was there anything about like the entertainment business or comedy that attracted you? Or was it like
no, I mean, originally I wanted to be a sports broadcaster in some capacity, and then was just looking for a job after I moved to the cities and saw a Craigslist ad as a door guy. And I was like, oh, I could be security at the Mall of America. Nothing shady goes on there. It'll be easy.
I can handle a middle-aged woman with four kids.
Right. And then, just climbed my way up. And now definitely the entertainment business is something that, after not being in football anymore, kind of gives you that same kind of rush and excitement that I got back
like
then.
Like being around the shows and stuff
Yeah. Like definitely like to get into more of like the management side of things. And
yeah, you mentioned that one time.
So that would be the main goal. Would be
but you see how psychotics, especially some comics, can be.
Like, they're all a little bit damaged in their own certain way.
Yeah, except for me.
Well, yeah, exactly. Not you. Yeah. No, not,
not
you.
At all. I always say if my mother hugged me two more times, I wouldn't be a comic. It is the most, if you want to see something, there is nothing more awkward than my mother trying to hug me. She does the arms don't work. Like
right,
they don't they can't get up past her. She means well. She's 89 and she's deaf as a whatever, but I, you know, any talent is not easy to deal with. And you're very calm. I could see you being a good manager though.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those things where at the end of the day it's their show. Like we've had comedians that my song wasn't played at the exact right spot and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's just like I understand why you're upset. We'll fix it for next time. Just calm down and make sure you do a good show.
Oh, you didn't do the Tom Bernard, shut up, you fat cow.
No.
Can you imagine being in that situation?
Oh, no. I could not be the
there
manager of
anything. There was another stabbing at the House of Comedy. Manager Tom Bernard took out the Wayans brothers.
I tend to look at people like they're idiots a lot, and then they... And I'm like, whatever. If that's what you're upset about.
But also, you're a pretty big guy. And you also seem like, I don't think you're like this, but you seem like you could snap and then it gets ugly.
Well, black people like to fight.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Jeez. JB, JB, put the knife down. And you're more intimidating. You're a darker shade of black.
Like, yes, Tom always reminds me.
You are.
What do you, you mean I remind you? I never
constantly.
Bring it up.
You work at the University of Minnesota.
Yes, I do.
And you do what there?
I do athletic equipment for 5 of the teams.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you like manage it, oversee it?
See it, repair it, get rid of it.
We were just talking about football jerseys, how you, the NFL players have to buy their football jerseys. Not the team, but could you get me like a team jersey?
Sure. I have some. I collect them as we get rid of them, so I have some at home.
Wow. How did you come to do that?
That job?
Yeah.
Oddly enough, in high school, I was wanted to be a football player. Figured out after my sophomore year in high school, I'm not going to get to college this way.
Yeah.
There was a guy my freshman year went off to college to Oklahoma State as a student trainer. You know, that's they call it athletic medicine now.
Yeah.
And so I said, that's my route. So my junior and senior year, I was a team manager, team trainer.
Oh, cool.
It was, you know, inter-city team. We only had 2 coaches, the offensive coach and the defensive coach. And actually, we won state titles at the highest level.
Wow.
With that, you know, and they had a couple of volunteers, but that was it.
Hmm.
And, you know, so they actually, at the University of Missouri, they had a summer camp to learn how to tape ankles and all that stuff. And they sent me both my junior year and senior year to that. And I was supposed to go to the University of Missouri. Somehow that fell apart. I met a guy who, he was at Colorado. He was a coach recruiting guys at my school. Mm. Was emptying out his desk. Saw my name and number, called me again and say, hey, wow. I'm going to the University of Minnesota. Do you want to go there? I didn't know anything about the University of Minnesota. I just wanted to go to college. I said, sure. And when I got here, I would have been one too many student trainers. They sent me over to athletic equipment, and that's where my life is.
Wow. So if your name weren't in that guy's desk, you wouldn't be sitting here with Tom Bernard now. And your life would have been much better.
Right.
Much
better. And I actually met him at a Gopher basketball game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But you just both happened to be in the same section?
No. A guy who used to do the show with Tom at that point named Mark Rosen, who's a local...
Oh, Rosie.
Yeah. Local sportscaster. I knew all the local sportscasters.
He's a K-fan, right? With
the Hawks? Yeah, he is, right.
The Hawks, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, So I knew all the local sports guys from them coming over and dealing with, because I worked football at that time. And I said, hey, I want to meet this Tom guy. And he goes, okay. So he introduced us, and he walked off, and Tom and I talked. And Tom looked at me and said, hey, you need to come out and hang out at the show. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I didn't show up. And we ran into each other somewhere again. He said, I thought I asked you to show up.
As he was leaning his bench.
He didn't tell you to go
fuck
yourself.
As he was keying your car.
He said, I'm going to go fuck himself.
And I went, and I thought you were bullshitting. And he goes, I don't bullshit people. I was like, okay, I'll see you next week.
So what was it about him that you said he could be on the on air and do well? Because I personally don't see it.
No, I don't see it. Well, see, the one thing that JB missed was when Mark Rosen was walking over with him. Mark was looking at me, but JB was talking to somebody else, and I went. I gave him
the kill sign.
Yeah, the kill sign, but he didn't see it. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just had a pleasant conversation about it, and I like, you know, I just thought I could give a different take on things.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It just because Philip wasn't on the show at the time. I just wanted a different. I think the real answer to this is that we had a few people on the show from small towns at that point.
Yeah.
And I don't get along with people from small towns all that well.
Why? Because they're too politically correct, or they're too narrow-minded.
I think it's a deal where if you grew up in the city, it's a completely different environment.
Yeah.
Then you know, if you were a big deal in a small town, then you succeed. Like, I'm surprised that Tim's not an arrogant prick. He grew up in a small town, and he became successful in the city, and therefore he thinks he's a big deal.
Oh, spend 3 hours in a car with him. Woo! A lot of, hey, get out of the way, do you know who I am? A lot of that.
No, I think it's just probably the shared experiences. Even though We didn't.
So yeah. You think small town people are arrogant?
Not all of them, but some. Devin, do you agree with that? That they have a different take
on
life?
There's definitely a sense of where here you're just another fish in a pond, like
right.
a small fish in a large pond, whereas a small town, it's the, oh, I was the all-star quarterback. Now I just stay at home drinking beer at my mom's porch, but I'm still the shit.
Right. So they expect that. Right. When they come to the city, they expect that special treatment.
And it's like you're nobody. Yeah.
So it's not all of them.
Yeah,
but
I don't see you tolerating that.
I mean, I had one honest to God one time. When that person came on the show, we had a 28 share. And after like about a year, I heard this person saying to another person, Tom's going to understand, it's my show too.
What? Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's going to work.
And that person's never been seen again.
No, they have not. I think they're living in a fifth wheel trailer.
Where are we going to go eat?
Okay, so what, Tevin... Who's going to go? Is everybody going to go? Oh, no, you got to work.
Yeah, I got to set up with Andy.
Where should we go? Where will they let black people
you
got, in?
I thought you guys had this all set when I walked out of the
door. We can do the Great Wall if you want to do that, or do the convention
grill. You want to do burgers and fries, or you want to do Chinese?
What do you want to do?
I'll do either or. This is your day. This is your day.
Probably. No. JB, what do you want to do?
Well, I used to live in that neighborhood that he's talking about.
Yeah.
So... I would probably go with the Great Wall over there.
All right, then let's do the convention grill. See what I did there? Come on! It's comedy. I charge people for that.
It's comedy.
Is it? Yeah, we can do that. That's fine.
You want to do Chinese or you want to do hamburgers and fries?
Let's do the Chinese. We'll do that.
Chinese, it's still as good as it used to be, I would assume. I haven't been there.
It's not like heavy sauce, though, is it? Is it goopy? So I'm not eating if it's goopy.
Goopy. See, he's already bitching.
Right. He really wants burger. I think he still wants burger.
No, I know. God, I can't even. Like, he said to Mario, I blinked and you read into that. I have to blink. My eyes will dry up. I'll go blind.
You're like needy.
And then, no, I just don't like the goopy. I like the light sauce that doesn't overwhelm the palate.
You probably should go to the convention then.
No, we'll go to the Chinese place. All right.
No, you fucked it up, bro.
We're going to the Chinese. all right. So listen, everybody, thank you for tuning in. This has been JB, Tevin, Tom Bernard, Mike, the non-Asian.
And non-Asian engineer.
Container head. Go to my website, paulmercurio.com. I'm going to be all over the place. You can see where I'm going to be. Follow me on Facebook and Twitter, at Paul Mercurio. Please go to iTunes and review the podcast. Tell your friends. That always helps to have nice things to say. If you don't have anything nice to say, go fuck yourself.
Exactly. I'll call him, tell him to fuck himself.
That's right.
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, he's got the best voice. Do the black guy voice for me. You always do it when you come on. Do it.
I'm going to do it at the restaurant.
That's the best.
Hey, look, let me ask you a question about that. I love that when white people try to do the urban voice. It makes me laugh. Hey, man, you're unbelievable. Where the fuck did you get that?
It's just the same when black people do the white guy.
The comic. Yeah. Hey there, Mr. Buddy Boy. Right. Like, does that thing.
Well, man, we're going to go get some pizza after this.
That's that racist Tevin, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Go to iTunes, review the thing. We're going to go have Chinese food, and then for dessert, we're going to go to Convention Grill. So everybody's going to be happy.
There we go. We'll do both. That'd be wonderful.
See you guys next week. Thanks for checking it out.
Thanks, Paul.
That was Tom Bernard, and I could hang with him all day. He's the nicest guy in the world, and he is as big and intimidating as he sounds, so he would punch a puppy if it gave him a dirty look. So I'm just telling you right now. No. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Please go give us a review. Tell your friends about the podcast. Spread it around. And don't forget, you can refresh or re-download your Bobcat Goldthwait interview from last Monday. And it'll be a full episode. I apologize. We had a technical glitch on the server and it cut off 3.5 minutes. So thanks for checking out the podcast. As always, we'll have a new one for you next week. You guys are awesome. And please give us a review.
A Westwood One podcast production.